Yeah.
There's definitely been some episodes, though, that have been like, I don't know what was going on with the soundboard that day. Or like that. You remember the episodes where before we figured out that we could manually set it to only use the soundboard instead of occasionally using the webcam microphone to record all of us.
Oh, man. That was
those were the dark days.
Yeah. Yes. The OG listeners know exactly what we're talking about.
Don't go back to those episodes, new listeners.
No, go back and you know, pump those numbers up.
Pump up our new numbers. I'm happy with those.
Compare, see how we've done.
Yeah.
Speaking of the dark days.
Mm-hmm. How's that related?
Well, listen, there is the scene where she's just like, it's a good thing I am perfectly fluent in this ancient script. Let me tell you of the dark days.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
fully just sense. Like, yeah, the dialect hasn't changed over the millennia of time that has passed. It's always been the exact same language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And I know how to translate it perfectly. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and... Pocket sand.
I'm Rick Fox. I am an author here in Nashville, and I am just here to deliver exposition.
I am Ethan Roberts. I'm here as hopefully more than just a one-time guest as an accountant here. And I totally forgot that the lead girl in this was also in The Prestige.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that either.
She was the wife of Christian Bale's character.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. I was picturing a different of the main girls. Totally.
Oh, not the young one. No, yeah. the older one.
I was very caught off guard for a second. Who are you?
I'm Caleb. You all know who I am. I am back from the dead yet again, and I've got a toothache.
And we're opinionated.
Then today we're watching Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire. Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire came out in 2024, has a 54 on Rotten Tomatoes. It was written by Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, and Jeremy Slater, and directed by Adam Wingard. And it stars Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Kaylee Hotti, Dan Stevens, and many others.
Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries.
So just a quick reminder for those who aren't aware of our first impressions style episodes, the first half, or really the first like 5 to 10 minutes of this episode is going to be spoiler free. We're going to give our general thoughts, what we expected going in, and our general feelings coming out of the movie, as well as whether we recommend seeing it or not. And then after that, there'll be a brief pause where we warn you that we're getting into spoiler territory, and then we'll come back and talk about the movie as a whole. Mm. I saw the trailers for this movie and was excited.
Yep.
I really enjoy where Godzilla as an entity is right now in movies, because we've got the one side that's like, we're putting out good, high-quality stories about Godzilla.
One.
The minus ones, the Shin Godzillas. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the other side, which is...
the Fast and Furious-ification
of Godzilla. Wouldn't it be fun if... my 8-year-old, who's mashing his action figures against each other, came up with a story about it.
Well, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you took that premise, fed it, like, we're going to get to a point where you can just tell something a la ChatGPT, make a film out of this, and just supply all of the CG components.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the CG has gotten solid enough that, like, eventually we're going to get to, like, where the point where larger language models can just fill in all those gaps.
Maybe. I don't know. I've seen some of the fiction that large language models have put out so far, and I'm not impressed with it yet.
It's nowhere near even this.
Yeah.
But today, that technology is the worst that it will ever be today.
That's fair.
I really enjoy where both sides of that Godzilla equation is.
Yeah.
And so I was excited to see this movie, not because I was like, man, I can't wait to see just this masterpiece of cinema, but... It's also fun. It's fun to go see wrestling, right? Like professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same vein, it's fun to see Godzilla versus Kong movies. In fact, there was like some crossover moves in this movie.
Yeah, there were some surprising ones.
Some unexpected suplexes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I wanted more than anything for seeing this movie.
Yes. I really enjoyed it as well. Like, I was excited from the beginning for exactly the same reason. I both like very, very nice steaks and shitty cheeseburgers, and I was happy after -1 to come get my shitty cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this movie is. It is absolutely absurdly stupid at almost every point, but that's perfectly okay because they're giving me giant monsters punching the shit out of each other about every 10 minutes, and that's what I want. Mm-hmm. If you are, I need you to entertain the child brain long enough that the adult brain that's asleep during the exposition parts can like come back up and be like, oh, okay, we're good, okay.
Did all of you guys see the last of the modern Godzilla versus Kongs, like where they're fighting Mecha Godzilla and all that?
I did, and I feel like I was supposed to remember a lot more of those characters than I did. Because when this movie started and they started introducing people and being like, hey, remember me? And I'm like, nope.
I do not.
I watched it again right before this, like at least parts of it. And because Jamie wanted to watch it, and that's what made me bring Jamie, which I can also give you the Jamie review.
How old is Jamie now?
He is 5 and a half at this point.
Okay.
So this is like his third in theater movie.
Sure.
So he enjoyed the monster fights a lot, did not give a shit about the exposition.
No.
So,
same.
Yeah. My perspective is going to be that I'm the guy, I think the last Godzilla film that I saw was when they introduced this Godzilla.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was a while ago. I haven't seen any of the Kong movies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was a very, very different style of Godzilla movie. They were still trying to be the minus one style serious Godzilla when they put that first one out. King of the Monsters was the next one. And it was significantly less serious.
That's versus King
right.
Ghidorah?
Skull Island came out as well, but like that was just Kong-centric.
Right.
And, you know, it was just, you know, it's another movie. And then Godzilla and versus King Kong came out. And what we're having success with is giant monsters fighting. They're not really buying into the serious, like, oh, Godzilla killed my son side of things.
And I appreciate the way they made those changes in this movie because it, even compared to the last Godzilla versus Kong, this is very much the people are here. We're not treating it seriously at all.
No.
Like, there's a character who gets introduced as the Kong dentist. And it's very like, okay. We don't have to worry about, like, he's not a super serious character. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yes, in this world where they've got this symbiotic relationship with King Kong, of course there's a Kong dentist.
Honestly, of the human characters, easily the best character. he was easily the most entertaining of the humans.
And that was actually the character I was referring to, being like him showing up and him and the main, the female lead.
Yeah.
Seemingly having a history. And right. I think they were in the last movie together. And I was like, I don't remember any of this.
The dentist was not in the previous one. The lady was.
Podcaster was also in the previous one.
Yeah, podcaster.
That was almost my intro. Hi, I'm Josh and I'm an annoying podcaster.
I mean, you're not wrong. He is still here and he's still annoying. He's not as annoying, though. It was not as overbearing this time. What else is there to say? The fights are good. The humans aren't too intrusive.
The villains, I wasn't sure how I'd feel about going in because it was a bunch of, you know, when they're fighting King Ghidorah, it's like, okay, that's established. I know what I'm in for. That should be pretty fun.
Right, yeah.
When it's just Godzilla versus King Kong, I'm down for it. Mm-hmm. When they introduce Mecha Godzilla, I'm all about it.
Yep.
When they start introducing new characters who, as far as I know, Scar Monkey was not a previous character in Toho films.
Brand new for this, so is Shimo, which is the ice dragon.
Sure.
Was it Shima or Shiva?
Shiva.
Shimo.
Shimo.
I thought it was Shiva.
I thought they had pulled a straight up Final Fantasy and started like, because they named the one Tiamat.
There are some
the
of those,
Shiva,
yeah, but
they,
she's Shimo.
I'm pretty sure the lake monster was Leviathan.
Right, yeah. Which is weird because the little baby monkey has a name too, and it's like Simu, so it's very close. I don't remember what it was, but I'm just going to call it baby monkey.
It's just Son of Kong.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got red hair.
He's
red-headed stepson of Kong.
There you go. Now you got it. But is there anything else we really need to discuss? Can we just give our like recommendations and jump in?
Sure, I'm down. It'll be fun to talk about all the spoiler stuff. The movie's a lot of fun. We've already established that it's not a very serious movie.
No.
And it's not a particularly good movie.
No, it is not.
But it's good in the same way that professional wrestling is good and fun.
Exactly.
And it's a nice time to have, especially if you're enjoying it with friends. I think see it in theaters or not. It's not one that you like have to, but it's worth seeing. It's fun.
Yeah. This is the kind of movie that I would recommend, like throw on on a night when you don't want to pay a lot of attention, but you do want something interesting on the screen when you bother to look up at it. And odds are about, 70-30 that you'll see a monster fight going on.
Sure.
And that's about what you want. So, I definitely recommend seeing this movie. It's a lot of fun. It's a blast. Go in expecting, like, not, original Godzilla, but like Godzilla like 5 or 6 movies in when he's like when they're getting silly with it. That's where they are with this. And honestly, those are some of my favorite Godzilla movies. So high recommend.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy the movie. This is not one that I would go out of my way to see at all. Mm-hmm. But if it's on, or if you just need something to do and it's an option, yeah, go ahead and do it. There are plenty of monster fights that happen. There's plenty of silliness that mm-hmm. happens in the movie. Absolutely. That it makes it worth it.
I found that this movie was very approachable despite being someone who hasn't watched a lot of giant uh-huh. monster movies mm-hmm. or a whole lot of the current arc of Godzilla films. And as such, I think this would be great if it's a night with the boys and you're having some brewskis, or like Rick was saying, if you want to go see something or rather stream something, if you've got a reasonably young child, this would also be a great candidate for that. Mm. Or if you just need to get some work done and not pay a whole lot of attention to it. But yeah, this is exactly what it advertises itself as being. Mm-hmm. With that being the case, I'm not sure I'd recommend seeing it in the theaters, but if it shows up on Netflix or something, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
With you guys giving your recommendations, what it reminded me was as a kid going to see a Transformers movie for the first time.
Sure, yes.
Like if you want that kind of, if you remember being a kid and going to see that kind of movie, or like Pacific Rim for the first time, something mm-hmm. like that, and you've got a kid that's now the age that you were about mm-hmm. back then, they'll have a really good time seeing it. And it seems like a fun movie to take your like middle school kids to go see.
I'm right on the cusp of being able to show Jamie a whole world of dog shit movies that I love. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, if you enjoy a lot of just really fun dog shit, you should come hang out with us on our Discord. The link to that is going to be in the description of this episode, as well as in our Twitter bio. Also, if you enjoy the podcast and want to help support us, you can do that on Patreon. patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as a buck a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, exclusive episodes, as well as early access to everything we record. We put the episodes up on Patreon first before anywhere else. Check mm-hmm. it out at patreon.com/opinionated. Guys, we're going to be back in just a minute to give all of our spoiler-filled thoughts on Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
We've discovered a signal. She can feel it. Kong, Godzilla, they can feel it too. Something is coming. Something even they're afraid of.
You feel like going for a ride?
Thought you'd never ask.
Just try not to swallow your tongue.
What? Is that a mini Kong?
Oh my god.
You know, I really hope that no one like comes to this and is like, hey, I've got a great idea for a porno. Let's make Godzilla XXX Kong.
Oh gosh. What if it's like the kind of crime heist movie that XXX was, except it's Godzilla and Kong instead of Vin Diesel?
I think that setting other styles of movies in a universe where kaiju exist would be amazing. Imagine a heist movie where the heist is interrupted by a gigantic kaiju battle midway through, and they still have to pull off the heist. They just have to do it while giant monsters destroy the city around them.
I'm just imagining kaiju trying to pull off a heist. Like, can you imagine?
Yes. An Ocean's 11 style kaiju film.
How are they going to be stealthy and pull off this heist?
You see
Godzilla's big ass tail and spikes popping out through the roof of the Mini Cooper.
That'd be amazing.
Thinking of like some of the Guardians of the Galaxy films, like they've got scenes where there's just a mashup of aliens and kind of tell from B, and they play with the size perspective in this film quite a bit. Do a bit of the tilt shift where they're trying to make stuff, even though it's almost all of it is CG anyway.
Yeah.
They're utilizing cinematic effects that make stuff look particularly big, almost like you're looking at a set of miniatures. But anyway,
Well, going off of that though, one of the few things that I didn't like about the movie was that it felt like there was a lot. There was not a lot of consistency with the size of a number of the kaiju. Like, you'll see at some point Godzilla is like swimming through a canal in some city, and his spike is big enough to like come over the top of a bridge, and then in the next scene he's like getting suplexed through the Great Pyramids. And I'm like, okay, these two are not on the same scale, and I enjoy when he's really, really big, and when he's like kind of just stomping around, like when he's not tall enough to step over the edge of the Colosseum without knocking it over. It's like, you should be bigger, my friend.
I love that Godzilla's entire journey in this movie is getting angrier and angrier and going to find something else to eat so that he can kick the ass of another guy. This entire movie, he is basically, he swims from Italy to the North fucking Pole just to eat another dragon, just so that he can swim all the way back to fucking Egypt so that he can jump in a giant hole, go into the center of Earth, and eat a monkey. Like, that is a next level of rage right there.
He levels up like two times throughout that journey, does. Though.
His entire character, I saw this described this way on Twitter, and I absolutely love it. Godzilla is basically the drunken boyfriend of a, like, the drunken person in a bar that is constantly just trying to fight everyone there and can only be vaguely calmed down by his gigantic moth girlfriend.
That's correct. Oh, man. The other thing that really stands out to me in this movie is that these kaiju are no longer animals. These kaiju are people in big monster bodies.
Correct.
Because, like, King Kong is setting up the traps from Predator.
Absolutely. He is. Yeah. I love it. It's amazing. That initial scene where he is getting chased by these, like, weird, bizarre wolf creatures that, like, you know, someone had fun designing because they knew they weren't an actual kaiju, so they could just get silly with it. And
they look like they belong in Elden Ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. Yeah, some sort of mutant dog.
I love that, and I love the... this one showed up in the previous movie briefly, but it's like a weird little mini lizard Godzilla. Like, it's a Godzilla that's like, if you've ever seen the evolution of man where it like starts out as a monkey, this lizard would be about a third out of the water coming out of the primeval ooze.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's
he just got rid of his fins.
That's right. Exactly. But that little thing like stealing his bit of meat at the beginning was just unreasonably funny. I like how they've spent the last two movies really trying to like make you like King Kong, because I know that they thought, okay, everyone already loves Godzilla, but King Kong is not nearly as popular, so we really have to like push to get him enjoyed by the general audience as a whole. I hope that they get a little more focus on Godzilla in the future.
I agree, because Godzilla is still my favorite of the two.
He gets top billing every time.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Well, and but it makes it where the majority of the movies focused on what's going on with Kong. Mm-hmm. And so as fun as it is to see Godzilla be ridiculous and go like fight the North Pole dragon to power up, like,
I mean, at the same time, that's exactly what I needed coming to this film, because I have seen I've not cared about King Kong at all in cinema so far.
Yeah.
So getting his character development was useful to me, whereas I know exactly who Godzilla is.
Right, exactly.
Well, do you though? Because now he's got like a personality and everything. When King Kong started, he was a big monkey. Mm-hmm. And like, he captured the lady and there's a little bit of humanity in the monster after all. And now there's monkey slavery at the center of the earth. Like, we've come a long way.
Okay, I do want to talk about that though. Okay, so
there's a center of the earth, center of the earth, center of the earth.
Exactly.
Right.
There's that. But also, like, it's, I guess, monkey hell, essentially.
But it has
existed for literally tens of thousands upon like eons, millennia have existed. All of human history is a blip on the like pimple of this entire thing.
Yes.
And yet these monkeys have been down there for this long and they have just moved some rocks back and forth, I assume.
There are no pyramids. Exactly, they haven't accomplished jack shit.
That's right. Listen, their monkey leader, Scarface, is a dick. And he's doing the thing where he's like, I want you to take this pile of rocks and move it over there. And when you're done, I want you to take that pile of rocks and move it back.
And he's done it for
millions
hundreds of thousands
years.
Of years. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's just how big of a dick he is.
Right. I guess so.
But also, it was supposed to be some sort of prison. Mm-hmm. And they literally just walked across a giant skeleton to get out of it.
Yes.
What was stopping them from leaving the hell area and actually going out into the upside down
like
world
King
down
Kong.
There?
But I thought that described, because you're right, when we hear the story interpreted by our main lady later, she's like, oh, back in the before four, there was a big Godzilla was the king of the monsters,
and he said, "Fuck you guys! I'm gonna kick all your asses if you come up on Earth." And Monkey Man was like, "I'm gonna come up on Earth," and Godzilla kicked his ass.
Right. So he put him in prison. I thought the prison was just like you're back in the center of the Earth. Is that not? Or was Monkey Hell supposed to be the prison inside the middle of the
It seemed like the whole point that is that they were trying to find a way out. But Kong has a way to go in and out whenever he wants. So why haven't they found a way to go in and out?
So the way that Kong goes in and out is new. It's new from the previous.
He started on the Earth, and they put him in the middle.
Okay. So they gave him the keys to go.
They gave him
the
keys to go.
Okay.
They essentially put him in monkey prison.
Yeah. In the previous couple movies, they have started to figure out how to use these, interdimensional portals essentially to get in and out. So that's very new.
So it's
and
only with human technology you can actually accomplish this, at least for the primary portal.
It's not technology. It's just people were not aware that they were there. And previously, the monsters were not really awake on the surface because nuclear weapons hadn't happened and there wasn't enough nuclear energy, essentially, to feed them, which is all lore from the previous like three movies that has largely been ignored whenever convenient.
Gotcha.
But
nukes woke up monsters on Earth.
Godzilla was the
as the protector of Earth and hater of big monsters, said "fuck you guys" and decided to start throwing hands.
I have to imagine the only reason that Godzilla has not started to wipe out humanity is that he's not fully aware that humanity exists yet.
Well, humans aren't big.
Humanity gave Humanity gave Dogzilla a bed.
That's correct.
Which actually is touching on that. He lays down in the Colosseum, which aren't there supposed to be tons of catacombs beneath? Wouldn't he immediately step into the Colosseum and break all the way through?
When you start looking at
that thing where he pawed it down, he pawed down all the catacombs and he laid down in the middle.
Turn around in a circle three times.
that might, if you gave me a really good t-shirt of Godzilla sleeping in the Colosseum, but he's all cutesy, I would absolutely love that. That is one of my favorite images from this entire thing. Because not only is Godzilla a gigantic asshole, even when he goes to sleep, he has to go to sleep on top of the souls of millions who went to die in that Colosseum. He sleeps in a place of war
and blood sport.
So Godzilla got pissed that all these monsters woke up and started killing all of them.
Yes, because he's a
King
protector.
King Kong, who had been on Skull Island, an island in the Bermuda Triangle, maybe?
I think it's in the Pacific, but it was guarded by a wall of perpetual storms, so no one knew it was there.
Essentially Bermuda Triangle, just not in the normal Bermuda Triangle spot.
Well, it seems like King Kong didn't have much of an interest in leaving it. You just have to explain why humanity hadn't found it yet.
He was also very small then.
Yeah, humanity found it and started doing what it does, and then he got pissed.
Well,
and so now...
No. What happened was the people that Kong was protecting there all died except for the little girl that's in this one.
Correct.
And people came in and actually helped King Kong and started being like, "Hey, we're going to protect
because of the
create
death
you a
lizards?
Place to protect." Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But then Godzilla started getting pissed about something that was happening, which was the previous movie, Godzilla versus Kong. But Kong got out of there because they were like, "Oh, we got to get Kong to go into the center of the Earth for us to figure that out." Godzilla being Godzilla was like, "Oh, there's something else big here. I'm going to kick its ass." Mm-hmm. But Kong didn't want to kneel.
There
so,
you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Whole
anyway,
plot of the previous
lore.
Movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so now
I know too much about
the deep lore of this new Godzilla.
The 3-inch deep.
Well, even if there's not a lot of King Kong lore, there's plenty of Godzilla lore, which also plays into this since we have lots of familiar characters showing up and being alluded to, such as Mothra, etc.
Yeah.
But there's also, I guess, a tie-in because King Kong and the little girl who's the last of her tribe, I can't remember the name of the tribe.
Correct.
The Iwi?
Yeah, the Iwi tribe.
Okay. Little girl's last of the Iwi tribe. King Kong is the last of the Kongs up on Skull Island. Is that was there a Pangea break between Top Earth and Middle Earth where it split off?
That's possible,
the lore of King Kong and the rest of the monkeys is in Middle Earth, is in the center Hollow Earth.
Right, yeah.
And
Middle
also,
Earth.
And
yes, the little hobbits.
Yeah, definitely Middle Earth.
And also, she is tied to the Iwi, but not really the Iwi tribe that's in the middle of the Hollow Earth.
I'm assuming that in the very way back in the past, before all the tribes were wiped out on the surface, they knew how to use that
the portal.
Could figure out how to do it, and they were going back and forth,
which is why they have in the center Earth they have all that technology, quote unquote, that's crystal bullshit. But they used to be able to do that, but at some point the other tribe got trapped up on Skull Island, and there was a connection severed there because there was never a way from Skull Island into the center of the Earth from what we saw. They were going there to research that. Right. They were there. They were going there to like research potential stuff that led to the center of the Earth, which is what the big lizard monsters that Kong fought in his movie were doing. But they never did that in from Skull Island down to the center of Earth, like in the movie so far.
I do not. The lizards were researching portal travel?
No, no, no. The people there in the
people
in
who
King
were actually
Kong's,
lizards.
Right. Yes. Yeah. In King Kong Skull Island, they went there to like research like Hollow Earth theory. There were these giant lizard monsters that were coming up out of the Hollow Earth.
Out of the Earth.
And King Kong was there fighting all of them to
those
protect
the skull, like
the skull crushers. Yeah,
lizards.
The skull crushers. And God, and King Kong existed in that place to help the Iwi tribe, keep, like to protect them,
keep them
from the skull crushers.
Okay, he was the cork in the bottle, essentially.
Basically, yes.
So we're alluding to these Iwi people, but like the cue that leads our characters to eventually arriving there mm-hmm. is that there's anomalies that are happening like all over the planet,
right.
screwing with electrical communications and mm-hmm. stuff. And it turns out they were actually using this as a sort of SOS beacon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They were saying, hey, shit's about to go down. Watch out. And the only person that
Godzilla's gets it, like, I hate alarms.
And the only person that gets it is one Godzilla, yes, and two, a little girl that can't communicate. So like great, you know, job creating your communication system.
Well,
people.
They're the one well, no, they're calling Godzilla.
Sort of.
So the
yeah.
person that they're calling is getting the communication.
Well, they also were calling Prophecy Girl because they were expecting yes. at least one of them to show up.
Exactly.
So honestly,
which is her.
I mean
it
that's
did work.
Two for two. It it's works just, exactly how it needed to.
It's hilarious. But the like the actual outcome is you get your message sent to a little girl who can't communicate it in any way. It doesn't know what it means at all. And also, all it does to Godzilla is piss him the fuck off, which, to be fair, is literally all that anything does except Mothra. So
and that's kind of all you need. Listen, here's the goal. We're going to clang our crystals together. We're going to piss Godzilla off so he goes Super Saiyan. Mm-hmm. And then we really got to get this girl that wakes up Mothra.
Yes.
Because if they can get the girl to get... I love that King, that Godzilla's girlfriend is just a big moth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, it was really funny to me that they gave... That Mothra in this got the, like, Lopunny treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Where...
Lopunny treatment?
Yeah, like the Lopunny treatment from Pokemon.
Oh,
where, like,
yeah.
Where Mothra's flying away, but she's still... even though she's a moth, she still somehow has, like, thick thighs and an ass.
Some vaguely human
yes,
proportions.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
I noticed it, like, multiple points. I'm like, what have they done to this moth?
I love that...
I can
so,
see why Godzilla's got a thing.
Mothra's caked up.
Yeah. I love that two movies ago, Mothra literally died and like was absorbed by Godzilla
that's
to like
Mothra
power
does.
Him up. It is, but then Mothra just in this movie, there's not like another egg that they have to awaken or something.
Mm-mm.
It's just
there
hey,
cloaked.
We just did our like Final Fantasy VII summon animation and Mothra's just there all of a sudden from the ether. Like, is
right.
she just some sort of spirit moth that appears from nowhere? Like, what
I
is the?
I would believe it.
I
yeah,
would believe
honestly.
It too. I just yeah. want a little more exposition on that, and like it wouldn't be hard. Because literally all they do through the entire movie is just point blank give you the dumbest explanation you could possibly get. They could literally just say, yeah, Mothra's a part of the spirit world. We haven't gotten into that. That's the next movie. And it'd be fine. Godzilla versus the space, you know, demons.
Meanwhile, like, the Kong dentist is like, good thing we were prepping for a spirit world mob.
Yeah, exactly. Comes out and we get Mecha Mothra.
That's right. Oh, it's so funny. Okay, that's a little bit like... I was kind of annoyed that they gave him the tooth that can bite through whatever.
Stuff and, didn't
and then he
like,
did. I was expecting him to bite the crystal, the ice dragon
good,
controlling
yeah.
crystal at the end there.
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been a good move.
It kind of got used for nothing other than to show Mean Monkey that he had been to the surface.
Right. And then Mean Monkey's a jerk and he's like, haha, he has a missing tooth.
Yeah. I think that he was laughing at the fact that he got help from humans.
Yeah.
Because the implication that I get through the entire thing is that there's basically two sides, well, maybe three sides. There's the side that likes humans, which is what Kong is on.
Yeah.
There's the side that hates humans, which is what Scar King is on.
Yeah.
And then there's just Godzilla who hates everyone and does not give a shit about the humans.
Except his caked up moth girlfriend.
Yes, correct. Who is on pro-human side. So Godzilla is just like one step closer to being on human side than anti-human.
Exactly.
That's correct. Godzilla is the very angry boyfriend who's like, who has to show up to events and
That's
behave
right.
himself.
That's right. He's a little bit abusive, but mostly he beats up other guys, so it's okay.
He doesn't beat up Mothra.
No, but he does beat up humans.
That's correct.
How are there any people that are going on vacation at all in this universe? Monster attacks are happening like every 15 minutes. There shouldn't be a single like landmark left left on the planet the at this point.
Also, there should be just like utter ruination and in human infrastructure. Uh-huh. Like,
yes.
Just no bridges are left intact anywhere.
Exactly.
I would expect at
100%.
This point.
The part that gets me is the sub, when the sub is following Godzilla around, being like, we gotta figure out what's going on.
The nuclear sub turns its headlights on.
I'm not following Godzilla into any sort of territory.
Ever.
I'm not gonna
especially
be in Godzilla's
like,
territory.
It looks, something that looks like a nebula underneath the Antarctic Ocean.
That's right, yeah.
And also, I'm definitely not gonna go where Godzilla is actively trying to fight another nuclear monster.
Mm-hmm. With my nuclear sub, which is exactly, literally, a snack for Godzilla.
Exactly.
It is the food he is eating.
He would just pick his teeth out after
exactly.
he's gonna, that other monster with your sub.
He's gonna break that sub in half like a glow stick and suck the nice juicy
which apparently he could do
he's
now.
He do just, a sub whip it.
Godzilla is just going full-fledged Kirby and sucking a nuclear reactor dry.
To like, be fair, this is established. It's
I'm
not
half
it's
surprised not, he didn't like grab the Leaning Tower of Pizza as like a big straw and like slurp it up.
I love that like two movies ago we had Ken Watanabe setting off a literal nuke in Godzilla's face to like power him up so he could go save the world. And we've gone from that being like this super emotional moment. We've had like a lot of build up to that. We have like Ken Watanabe looking at the watch that shows the time that Godzilla attacked Japan the first time. And it's this like, I've come full circle. We've come around from you being our destroyer to our
savior
and all this. And he's literally killing himself to do this. And now it's just Godzilla just zooms up into the Arctic.
Before he goes to an arbitrary nuclear reactor
in
and
France.
Just like sucks it dry. Mm-hmm. And that's on screen for maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Despite it being like, this is a Chernobyl level natural disaster. Mm-hmm. But it's all cool now just because he can just suck it all down.
That's right. Yeah. Godzilla is helping it because he's absorbing all that naughty radiation.
Now, hold on. Well, after he broke it. screw their power.
France is going to have a blackout for the next 3 years.
Let's also be clear. At the end of the movie, Godzilla does his victory war cry and fires his atomic breath into the atmosphere.
which apparently that fixes the weather.
It's to reverse the ice age.
The world
age
will
Shimo.
Be in nuclear winter in moments.
But I've seen Shin Godzilla.
It would have been in nuclear winter because Shimo fired her blast up into the air. And it was, I read this on the Wikipedia,
Hold on. You just said Shimo as the ice dragon.
Yeah, Shimo is the ice dragon.
Okay, when we were talking earlier, we were talking about the blade dragon in the North Pole who he sucks
That's
down.
Tiamat.
Yeah.
That's Tiamat.
Right.
Okay.
Shimo is the maid for this one. Tiamat's also made
so
for this
So sometimes
one,
he just does it for shits and gigs, and other times he does it to fix the weather.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure all that atomic radiation in the atmosphere is going to be just fine.
It was solar radiation, so we're good.
Solar? How's it solar?
Because the way that Tiamat had all that stored up goodness was from like solar radiation being funneled into its little storage area that Godzilla was like, hey, I'm taking
your shit. The sun still gives people cancer.
I'm not saying... I'm saying that Godzilla is the like... In-universe, the idea is that Godzilla is the guardian of the natural order, so he just natural ordered the shit out of the atmosphere.
Let's just talk about like the science bullshit that they concoct and try to make sense in order to explain things that happen. Like, why on earth? Like, something to do with the fact that the way the electrical field around the Earth happens to like go straight through where the poles are is as a consequence of that, I guess.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of radiation that Tiamat's like making
absorbing.
Herself a snack from.
Yep.
Listen,
exactly.
they're real specific on the science in this.
They
movie.
Might as well just said like this is where there's been a neutrino storm and Tiamat absorbed all of them.
Uh-huh.
Later
yeah.
in the movie,
okay
they give King Kong a dose of their anti-frostbite serum.
Right. It's yeah, like the stuff from Spider-Man.
Why did they shock his arm and all of a sudden it was fine?
They give him a shot of the Bane venom, essentially.
I think you should know this. Why? Because King Kong, it's a reference to the original Godzilla versus King Kong, in which King
the
Kong was powered up by the electricity, by electrical storms. That's how he like managed to fight Godzilla toe-to-toe in the original King Kong versus Godzilla.
So in the original, which is a movie that's very near and dear to my heart,
although
it's not great.
It's literally the third Godzilla movie.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
King Kong gets just... his ass kicked by Godzilla and
as
he's
he
laying in a pile of rubble and Japan is freaking out because King Kong was the thing they brought in on their unbreakable twine to fight Godzilla. And so they're freaking out. And then, lo and behold, a miracle happens. A thunderstorm, like a lightning bolt, strikes King Kong and he's one of the monkeys that's electrically powered, I guess. Okay. He gets up and he's like, oh, I love electricity. And it's already been established that, like, Godzilla doesn't hates like it. Because he came across some power wires and was like, ew, I'm going another way.
Gotcha.
Turned and walked away.
I forgot that, that King Kong was part of the Energizer Bunny.
That's right, yeah.
And then from that point on, the rest of the movie, he's like hitting Godzilla with electric punches in the screen.
Speaking of that unbreakable twine, I am deeply shocked that it's been like three movies with this King Kong in, and we have not gotten King Kong being lifted into the atmosphere on unbreakable twine can, from the toppest top rope, give the people's elbow to another monster. I need it.
Not yet.
Not yet. If you are listening, Adam Wingard, get on it. Make it happen.
I need that unbreakable twine to come back.
And the berry juice. Lots of berry juice.
Oh, I love that.
Tiamat's on screen for also about 2 minutes. Exactly. Goes down really easy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And they were kind of building it up as one of the hardest kaiju that were out there.
Yeah, exactly. Thought,
and it's just like, okay, it died off screen.
It's an omega level kaiju. It slices everything in its path with its razor blade.
Exactly.
And then Godzilla baits it into biting its head, and he just like...
literally just is like, fuck you.
Himself.
Yeah, he just is like, haha, gotcha, bitch. Uno reverse card.
He takes a nap at that point because I miss why he wound up encased in ice.
Well, this is also classic Godzilla where he's like in the ice, like up in the iceberg somewhere, just absorbing power.
Exactly.
And like, I remember that's another part of the original King Kong versus Godzilla.
It was,
when they find Godzilla. He's like bursting out of an ice.
Yeah.
Like
from the previous movie where he had been trapped. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to answer your other question, though, Tiamat somehow, I don't know how it does this, had been gathering all of that good sun energy into his little lair there. And that's why Godzilla like came in, ripped off his head, and went in there to absorb.
Yeah, the power up wasn't from Tiamat. It was from taking
swam into the nest and took a nap.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Tiamat had made like Tiamat goo. And Tiamat goo is just a big battery for the sun.
There was a lot of goo in this movie.
There was a lot.
Particularly in the first 20 minutes.
I'm kind of sad that they went with green blood instead of red blood. I like red blood better.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. When we had all the green goo being splattered everywhere, like there was a moment with Kong and a moment with Godzilla. I was kind of like, okay, we're setting the tone right now. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting there's just going to be green stuff spurting everywhere throughout this film.
Kind of was.
And it kind of died out.
A little bit, We needed a little more, but we got some towards the end. I really love that moment, though, where King Kong like grabs the like little dog thing and like rips it in half over his head. And all the other ones are like, we're not fucking with that. And then like King Kong has just done this like super barbarian move to like terrify his enemies. And then once they're gone, he just kind of looks and it's like, oh, icky. I don't like this. It's like my son when he plays with slime that's too sticky. He just is having a really good time until he like lifts his hands out of it and is like, eh, wash hands, please.
What do you think about King Kong going and getting his ass kicked in Monkey City for the first time?
I loved it because I like that, like, King Kong... I knew King Kong had to lose this fight when he went in there.
Sure.
But I do really like that they give him that first moment of, like, this other monkey getting all up in his face, like, yelling at him, and he just clocks him once, and it's done.
Yeah, plus he loses his axe, and you had to have that moment of, oh, no, it's his all-powerful weapon, and now he's lost it, and he's got to have to get it back somehow.
So he can get the gauntlet glove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we're creating stakes here, and it worked for me. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, one of the things that I'm impressed that they had to do with this movie is the fact that we can't exactly have these monsters just kind of growling and everything at the bottom in subtitles. They have to show rather than tell, and they sent that even farther since we have these characters who literally communicate using sign language. So the fact that they're able to have that character interaction where I'm learning about Kong in Monkey City, like I think that they could have screwed that up really badly.
Yeah, definitely.
And they delivered on it where they needed to.
The one thing I needed that they didn't give... I needed two things in this movie that they didn't give. And it's the right tone for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I needed, when Mothra comes and calms down Godzilla, I need Godzilla and King to just, like, dap it up. And now they're, like,
absolutely.
The whole,
chest bump.
Yeah, and then I need... Because King Kong knows enough sign language from talking with his little girl. Mm-hmm. I need, when he and Scarface are talking to each other, I needed King Kong middle finger at one point.
That would have been incredible. Yes, I absolutely would have loved that.
Because at this point, they are, like, they're no longer, I said earlier, they're no longer animals. Like, they're having discussions even though they're not talking, right?
Speaking of that, though, I do really like that they maintained that Godzilla is still just a giant asshole from the previous movie. Like, that was basically his entire character was just being an asshole until he got so tired from fighting King Kong and Mechagodzilla and blasting a hole down to the center of the earth that he was like, all right, I'm gonna let you live this once, King Kong. But the moment that he comes back up, immediately Godzilla's just like,
no, you remember me. We're homies.
It's
right?
Cool, right? It's cool, right? And Godzilla's like, fuck no, pile drive you into the
get out of my house.
Get under my house. Get back into my basement, punk ass monkey bitch.
Yeah. It's the one thing that I had actually really wanted out of that scene, and he tried to almost do it, was I wanted him to just take Godzilla by the tail and just huck him into the hole.
That would have been hilarious.
That was how I wanted him to get down to Hollow Earth.
I agree. I would have liked that. I do, though, like that Mothra made a reasonable peace between the two of them, because now that we've had this, I feel like the next movie when they interact, they can be cautiously okay.
Yeah. I'm always nervous.
I'm not gonna be a dick to you this
time. In these movies, because King Kong is so much the focal monster, that they're going to ruin the tier of who's stronger.
Right.
And I like that they've consistently kept King Kong can try to throw hands, but Godzilla will eventually have enough and just say, I'm done.
Godzilla,
and put him in his place.
Godzilla is basically just the Hulk in that lots and lots of people can get in his in the ring with him and throw hands with him for a few minutes. But the Hulk just keeps getting the fuck back up.
And keeps getting more angry.
Exactly. Yeah. So he just keeps getting in there and fighting again and again and again. And you might knock him down, but he's just going to get back up and be mad about it. So just get his moth girlfriend in there to be like, hey, the sun's getting real low, buddy.
What do you guys think of the human characters? Because that's always a sticking point for me in these movies. Because in a lot of movies, a lot of these kaiju movies, it's just there's way too much. I do not care about, oh no, you're back from the war and you have an estranged relationship with your father. Who gives a shit? I'm here to watch a lizard fight stuff.
Well, wait, were you in for it when, the mother and her deaf child from another culture were having this heart-to-heart conversation about how she...
The Volkswagen.
Don't ruin it. I was building to it.
Brought to you by Volkswagen.
Having trouble with your teenage daughter?
We belong together. Wherever you are, that's where I belong. Wherever I am, that's where you belong. We belong together. We belong in a Volkswagen.
in the all-new, all-electronic Volkswagen.
That's correct.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, gosh. What an ad.
Drive it home today.
And yet somehow there were several other vehicles pictured. We didn't see the labels on any of them.
Mm-hmm. They didn't pay.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of the humans, I'm okay. I'm good enough with those two. They have enough of they don't overstay their welcome with the whole, I'm a mom and this is my daughter thing. And it's enough.
Sure.
I genuinely like the dentist dude. He's goofy enough. He seems to know what movie he's in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The podcast guy was not nearly as overbearingly annoying in this
movie.
They
trimmed him down a lot.
A lot, yeah. And also, he wasn't having to interact just with kids. So, that helped considerably. But the only person that I'm, a little iffy on how I feel about their character is the, Scottish... guy that was the pilot and badass.
Oh yeah, the guy that was throwing up death flags from the very beginning.
Well, he has actual character interactions with the dentist guy, and it's we've known each other for a while. We're friends and all that.
Right.
Oh, you've just been eaten? Okay, whatever. That's just the circle of life, baby. Let's just move on.
He specifically is not just whatever. He's no, I know. This is really hard. The way that we can process this grief is by trying to focus on what's positive. Oh, there's things coming to kill us. We're gonna have to mourn later.
Yeah, we're gonna have to put that
way
on the
later,
shelf
after the movie's over. Yeah. And correct. It's never going. Your name is never going to be said again on screen in this universe.
It is a single line that it at least makes a difference. From he died. Aw, shucks. Time to move on. At least it's he is sad about his friend, but knows that there's more pressing issues.
I genuinely would have been more into this movie if it's aw, shucks, he's dead. Let's move on. Because that's what the movie is literally telling you. And every other part in this movie, they're basically just giving you the 100% face value. This is some dumb shit, but this is the shit we're going to give you. And you're going to eat it up because you want to see these giant monsters punch each other in the face.
Question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
How did the dentist go back and get his dentist aircraft that was also fitted for attaching a gauntlet on?
He has been running laps with Gendry, and so they are both very good at running very long distances in improbable amounts of time and returning just in time to save the entire crew of cast characters.
Because he not only went back to the surface to get his tooth exchange
machine
and turn it into a gauntlet fitter machine. But then he also went back in time to get the other craft that can disguise itself like a hornet lizard.
I think the actual answer is that there was a portal very close to where they were, and he just went up that portal, like probably signaled someone from there, and they zipped him over to where he needed to be. And
yes, he went on that portal and landed in Egypt, 1,000 miles away from his aircraft.
Right.
Yeah, I think the movie just wants us to not worry about it.
Yeah, the movie doesn't want us to worry about travel time at all.
Was the they said the prototype was down in Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
So there was probably a ship down in Hollow Earth.
Oh, so you think there's just another one of those ships?
Yeah. The dentist has got ships all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure. Okay.
I would only, my only issue with that is that when they crash initially, which is why they're walking around there to begin with, they're like, well, we're shit out of luck. There's nothing in any direction for a long, long time. So I guess we're just fucked.
You want him to hop on one of the lizards and like, he pulls a braid out of nowhere and just, like,
he just attaches it? Yes. I would genuinely be 100% more okay with it if he had just like hopped on some form of giant monster and been like, hi ho, Silver. I am one with nature. Let's go.
King Kong, I need you to throw me.
All right, first you encase me in a big giant ball of your poop that will
at least the Mothra goo
that will cushion my landing when I land, and then it'll be fine.
weird Mothra spider silk, moth silk that turns into
he does
goo.
What you suggested, and then like as he's flying through the air, he's just like, well, this is a shitty way to travel.
That is the tier of this movie. Shocked that we have not gotten a monkey slings poo joke once in this entire series
despite being PG-13. They've kept it pretty family friendly and wholesome,
which is what they have to do
aside from all the monster violence.
Kids are the ones that they want to come see this movie.
There are lots of monster gore, but you never see a monkey bleed once.
Unfortunately.
Even when, because Scarface has it, what's the name of, it's like the whip chain.
Kunai with chain.
Spine whip.
Yeah, he's got kunai with chain with a very flexible snake spine, I'm assuming.
Something
and
like
he slashes up King Kong's hand, but even then he looks and it's like, oh, my cuts.
I got a squatch.
Exactly. Yeah. They are pushing very hard for that.
I like
PG-13.
The difference between the way Scarface and King Kong fight.
Yeah.
Scarface is very
one was a dex fighter, one was a strength fighter.
Exactly.
Exactly.
100%. It makes it fun when they're in the middle of monkey hell fighting, because you've seen King Kong kick enough ass that you kind of assume that this smaller monkey shouldn't really much to him.
Exactly.
And then he's just got a magic crystal that also controls Shimu.
I like that the implication that I got is that the Monkey King probably would have lost if they kept fighting, but he had a trump card in Shimu, and that that works out. I like that math of this is how villain gets over protagonist who has to lose at this point, otherwise there's not a movie.
Shimu felt different from the other three. The other three felt like they were fighting.
Yes.
Shimu felt like a mount that was included.
Yes.
Right.
Shimu, and I like that.
Actually feels like an animal compared to the other ones, which are just people in rubber suits.
Yeah. Honestly, I think, I feel like Kong and the other monkeys are the most like similarly intelligent to humans. I don't know how intelligent Godzilla actually is. Like, I could get, like, he's definitely got a personality in there. But, like, my dogs have personalities. They're just not quite as much of an asshole as Godzilla is.
He's got more than Shimu, though.
Yes, which I do agree with. But we also haven't gotten a lot of time with Shimu. So, like, maybe when Shimu hasn't been imprisoned in a hole for billions of years or whatever.
Tortured for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And also, Shimu's now on King Kong's side, kind of.
Yeah.
So, in the next movie,
because King Kong freed her.
Yeah, no, I understand why.
Oh, okay.
But, like, in the next movie, is it going to be Godzilla and King Kong and Shimu and redheaded stepson of King Kong versus...
They're going to come up with some bullshit reason why it's
super
only
octuple Ghidra.
I would absolutely kill to get Mecha Ghidra in this series. I'd be totally okay for them to be like, all right, we've got parts of Ghidra left. We've also got parts of the Mecha Godzilla left. Let's just slam them together and have that fight Godzilla because he keeps destroying our cities.
Mecha Godzilla was kind of weirdly
a
little bit Mecha Ghidra.
It was, and I was not a fan of that part.
Which is kind of a lame way of taking that.
I also was mad that like Godzilla wasn't doing better against Mecha Godzilla, but he was tired. He'd fought like a bunch.
he was tired. Day.
He blew a hole to the center of the fucking earth just to go fight another monkey and didn't get a power up that movie.
That's right, yeah.
So Godzilla winds up, not Godzilla, King Kong winds up on his back foot because he winds up getting his arm...
Frostbitten
from taking a laser.
And loses his axe.
Axe. He winds up running away for a bit. And this is where we see his predator-style traps that he's got.
Uh-huh.
I love that, one, these traps don't work the second time and that it needs the help of the little monkey, but I cannot believe that we have not talked about the fact that when Kong initially meets this tiny monkey and a bunch of other monkeys attacks, the
he
little
uses
monkey
him
tries
as a club.
To, the little monkey yeah. like gets involved in the fight against King Kong, and so King Kong just picks him up and full on is beating those motherfuckers with another motherfucker.
Yes. And not just a motherfucker, a child motherfucker.
A child, yes. This is a little, I'm sad that Brian is not here for this podcast because he's literally done this in D&D games before with goblins.
I had this spoiled for me because I saw this as a gif.
Did you?
I did.
I did
saw
not.
King Kong smacking the bitches around using the baby monkey. And the caption was, "When my cousin won't stop asking if I have games on my phone." I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, that feels too right.
Yeah.
When my cousin, if it was our age, it would be when my cousin won't stop telling us about his Pokemon cards.
Exactly.
So King Kong winds up running back to his home,
right?
But that's clearly not a safe place because his traps save his ass, mm-hmm. but he's clearly fucked up and yeah. that he needs to wind up seeking help. And
yes.
this is where he winds up actually encountering the humans again mm-hmm. as he comes to like the Iwi colony that has
mm-hmm. like the double
the
pyramids.
Crystal ziggurats.
Yeah. I really like that place. Like, the style of this place is very cool. It would be really easy to just, like, be like, okay, there's just people on Hollow Earth and they're whatever. But I like that they, like, have their own technology. I like that they're psychic for no fucking reason at all.
I love that.
They're just magic and bullshit, and that's fine. I'm good with that.
I love it because it's a great way of having the whole culture that's there, and also you're not really introducing a whole bunch more human bullshit to yes. pollute the rest of the monster
yeah,
fighting
you,
movie.
You just have the narrative be told by the main characters that we'd already met.
Yeah, that's exactly. right.
Because they just don't talk mm-hmm. ever.
There's some more of the, this is the science and the neutrinograms and the yeah. reverse polarity mm-hmm. and it works.
Yeah, they throw some crystals in the water and magically the crystals come together and there's no
it
gravity.
Reverses gravity.
Turns out
trust
and the entire
all
reason
girls
that
are
is,
into crystals are right.
And the entire reason that for that is, hey, let's have a cool no gravity Godzilla fight. And I'm down for
it
that.
Was
yeah.
amazing when we finally got there.
Yes, that might be my favorite fight in the entire movie.
Interesting. That's my least favorite.
Yeah, I actually really? wasn't too into the no gravity fight.
I like it a lot.
I thought it had the best action of the entire film.
Mm-hmm. Concept wise, I enjoy it as a concept, but I like the weight that a lot of the destruction in kaiju movies has, mm-hmm. and when you're jumping around low grav, no grav. Sure. It feels like it loses a lot of that.
That's fair.
A lot of the destruction that happens when the giant monsters are fighting each other up on the surface afterwards feels more fun to me because it feel like when a monkey flings a skyscraper at another monkey, like it's
yes,
that's it feels a lot more impactful. It feels heavy.
Yeah,
I enjoy it more.
I like
because the fight in the zero gravity feels like a lot of it is spent with each of them just trying to find their footing.
Mm-hmm. I really do. There's two things that I don't like about it. I agree with you on that. That's the first thing. The other thing is that I'm really mad that they didn't have Godzilla use his laser breath to push himself into
a gun.
I was waiting for
in other movies.
Exactly.
He'll rear up on his tail and just fire himself backwards.
Exactly. It would have been amazing. I needed that, and I needed King Kong to grab the evil monkey, like get him in the full Nelson, and Godzilla to run up and give a double like drop kick on his chest. I needed both of those references to the old movies. That's all I wanted, and you didn't give it to me, you bastards.
They have gone. It's like the Hokey Pokey where they've got three of their limbs in the middle and just were going this ridiculous.
Yes.
But they haven't fully committed with that fourth limb.
That's fair.
Where it's like, I need them to just get a professional wrestling coordinator as like their choreographer.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Just let them go like balls to the wall with, I want King Kong as they're in no gravity to come up to Godzilla and just spin him like a top as Godzilla's firing his beam. So he just like cuts a circle around him or right. something.
We've already seen
some
of these.
I need a version of Godzilla Hell in the Cell.
Exactly. Yes.
Like, we've already seen some of these vines that are somehow large enough that these creatures can use them as rope. Have that be something that they run into and do that thing in wrestling where they bounce off of it and come back.
Yes, absolutely. I will say one other thing that I've noticed in this movie that has been kind of progressive through all of these is that I am gradually losing the sense of how big these monsters is at a lot of points. Like, if they're not fighting in a city, especially when they were down in the middle of Earth and it was just like there's a bunch of monkeys moving rocks around in hell for no reason, I had no sense of scale for these giant monsters. And I really should, and that's a problem.
Like, the closest we get was in the forest, but still somehow the branches are over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
When these things are freaking huge.
Yeah. I would have really liked if in the like in the hell place down there, there were some like trapped iwi as well that were like there just to give us scale, but also they were like, yeah, these were the poor punished iwi that got stuck with the giant monkey monster. We're trying to help them. Something like
just
that.
Just like
would
some help. Dinosaurs or something.
Yeah.
Because like, they have like a brontosaurus over there. Like, oh, he's small. Oh.
Can you imagine if like the way they did that was like the big evil monkey just picks it up by the middle, like pops its head off like a cork and drinks it like a straw.
Like a straw.
I want that. Oh, that'd be amazing. Crushes the middle like it's a Capri Sun.
Oh man.
Like tosses it away.
That's right.
I agree though. There needs to be, it helps when you're able to get the consistent feeling of scale throughout, and you miss a lot of that in this movie. Another one is when the gauntlet is attaching to King Kong's mm-hmm. arm. These metal plates should be massive.
Yeah.
But they're just like they're doing the movie Transformers thing where they're just like unfolding and attaching mm-hmm. and zipping and zapping, and it's yeah. fine. But it's going so fast, none of it feels like it weighs anything. Yeah. This should be like the size of an aircraft carrier,
yeah,
essentially,
absolutely.
That he's right. sticking onto his hand.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's completely. Not just armoring him, it's somehow empowering him at the same time in a yeah. way that seems to nullify the thousands of pounds of metal that would be what we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm fine with King Kong not being bothered by those thousands of pounds of metal. He's huge right. and strong, and it's cool.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't feel that big.
I want him in the next movie, though, to have a, like, egregiously larger arm with that one on it, because he's been lifting that with extra weight on it. It's just way bigger than his other hand.
Oh, gosh. Anything else specific you guys want to talk about before final thoughts?
We haven't really talked about Mothra, except for Mothra was also there.
Mothra was
That's kind of what Mothra was in the movie.
Okay, fair yeah. enough.
I like her in the zero gravity scene, shooting the... like,
shooting her web?
Yeah, shooting the webs to things to stick them to stuff. That was really cool.
At the same time, like, there were motherfuckers jumping one direction, and they get hit with web, mm-hmm. and now they're going the other direction. Like, there is some momentum behind that. Good grief.
Shot.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, she's got to keep up with Godzilla, so anyway, got to be powerful.
Calm down,
Mothra.
Rick, calm down.
Yeah, you're the one talking about her thick thighs there.
No, the movie gave her thick thighs and an ass, okay? That's not my fault.
Anyway.
She had weird little bug legs.
So yeah, let's go ahead and get into our final thoughts.
I enjoyed the movie. It's a lot of fun. We pretty much covered everything that I wanted to talk about. My favorite part of the movie was the final team-ups between Shimu.
I think. Maybe Shimo.
Maybe obviously, Shamu. It doesn't matter.
Final team-up between Shamu and Scarface, and then King Kong and Godzilla. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And I like it feels weightier than some of the other fights that we've seen. My second place fight would probably be at the Great Pyramids. That's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing King Kong suplex Godzilla behind him. Like, that's a fun move. I want more of that in the movies.
Yes.
My least favorite part of the movie is, it's kind of hard to pin down. I guess I'll pick that the size and scale and weight of the monsters doesn't feel consistent throughout the movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of scattered throughout. There's not one scene that's like particularly egregious,
mm-hmm.
But it's nice to know that these giant monsters feel like they're giant monsters the entire time.
Yeah.
And even when there's humans next to them, the fact that we've got so, like, because we've seen King Kong just doing his monkey things with other monkeys the same size and everything's cool,
mm-hmm.
even later when he gets next to the humans, he still doesn't feel like he's got all the weight that he should.
Right.
Because we've already established it almost feels like the humans are smaller than regular human size, as mm-hmm. opposed to King Kong's so much bigger than a normal human.
Yeah.
It's weird. The movie's fun. It's not a great movie, but I had like a 4 out of 5 time watching it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So 4 out of 5 frostbite cure injections.
This movie is an absolute blast. I really loved it from beginning to end, honestly. My least favorite thing about it is probably that at a certain point, like, the ridiculousness is getting, you got to go full bore, like you were saying. It feels like they've got 3 in the ring and they need to get that 4th in there. Because, like, there's a certain point in the movie where I'm like, they're destroying beaches in Brazil. They're destroying the pyramids. But everyone else normally is just going about their daily lives. Like, this
like
level
talking
of,
about kaiju insurance. Like,
exactly.
That's a level of casual about this yep. that I wouldn't yeah. expect.
Especially because, like,
capitalism finds a way.
In King of the Monsters, like, Ghidra destroyed all of Washington, D.C. Like, he drowned the entire place, which, cool, I'm on board. But, like, if they're going to do that kind of stuff, I need the, like, chaos to exist in the world as well. Like, have Monarch be taking over the world, essentially, as, like, yeah. they're the saviors against the Kaiju somehow. I just need them to acknowledge...
In a boys kind of fashion.
Yeah, I need them to acknowledge that this world cannot exist in the normal way that our world does at this mm-hmm. point. Just to at least some degree. Just because, like, so many, like, landmarks are gone that I don't know how many are left in the actual universe at this point.
Right. Yeah.
That said, that doesn't really bring the movie down that much for me because it's just so silly and it is very clearly telling you from moment one, hey, just roll with this shit. It's dumb. We know. It doesn't make any yeah. sense. We know. Just
there's no continuity.
It.
We know.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite thing about it, though, it's just Godzilla. I fucking love Godzilla mm-hmm. all the time. And I love that he is just an angry rage monster that is vaguely human aligned. Not actually on our team, just not on the other guy's team. He's more angry at them than he is at us because he has not yet noticed us. And that's just hilarious to me.
We're like his ant farm. Where yes. it's like,
yeah, we're just fleas.
He cares a little bit. And he's like,
but he's not
trying to keep us alive. But also, if he steps on a few of us and squishes us, he yeah. doesn't really right. care.
He cares about the collective. We'll make more. Yeah, it's the collective, not the individual that exactly. he kind
of
cares
Whereas
about.
Whereas King Kong's got much more of that interpersonal connection. Mm-hmm. Kong's just kind of like, humans should continue to survive. If yeah. anyone's going to kill them, it's going to be me.
Yeah, exactly. These are my ants. Stop stepping on them or I will literally rip your head off.
Yes. Yeah.
Overall, this is not a good movie. This is a very fun movie.
Five
so
five.
I'm only going to give it 3 out of 5 adorable Godzilla cats sleeping in the Colosseum over the souls of the Roman deaths that happened there.
Can you imagine being that gladiator and, like, you're expecting the door to come open and, like, a tiger to come out? This is going to be a challenging fight. Uh-huh. The door comes open and then, like, is kicked in as Godzilla walks into the Colosseum. Yes.
Incredible.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. My overall thoughts on the movie. It was a fun movie, like you said. Like, it was good when there were monsters mm-hmm. fighting. When the monsters weren't fighting, I could pretty much turn my brain off and get on my phone. Like, yeah. there wasn't really any point in paying attention to anything but the monsters fighting. Yeah. My favorite part about the movie was definitely Godzilla. When he's fighting, is like a martial artist. But when yeah. Godzilla is just traveling places, he looks like my toddler trying to walk around. Just kind of yes. shuffling his feet. Uh-huh. Doesn't really know where he's going. He's just like, kicking things over.
He's like Goku. Really dumb at everything except fighting. Oh, yeah. Fighting, he's a genius.
I could not stop giggling every time I saw Godzilla walking anywhere because mm-hmm. it was like, oh, that's what my toddler does.
Mm-hmm. I love how he immediately becomes an Olympic swimmer when he's jumping off the Rock of Gibraltar, though. He's just got, like, perfect form diving into the water.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it exists in previous versions, but this is the first time that I can remember seeing gills on a Godzilla.
He's had him. Yeah. He's had him this whole. Yeah, this iteration up. Has had him yeah. the whole time.
Okay,
I figured he just kind of had his own internal radiation.
It's kind of, yeah, it's how they kind of just wave away that yeah, you can stand underwater.
Well, he's amphibious.
Yeah, you gotta look for them, but they've been there. But,
sure.
Yeah,
okay.
I think this is the first time they've been as obvious as they are.
They're like glowing right. when he yeah, roars and stuff yep. like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Least favorite part of the movie is probably, like I said, whenever the people were on screen,
the human stuff.
Yeah. Like I really did not care one bit about any of that, and whenever they would. It was a little pet peeve of mine is they would cut to the veterinarian during some of the fights and he'd just be like, yeah. And they did that like 4 times when they were fighting around the crystal ziggurats. I was like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
I don't need the guy going, yeah, every time someone gets suplexed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if it was a turn your brain off, have fun movie, it's a 3 out of 5 Godzilla toddler shuffles.
Nice.
So, for my take, I had to think about, like, okay, what is this film trying to be and who is this for, and did it give them what they wanted? And as far as that goes, I think that they hit the nail pretty well on the head. Mm-hmm. Is this deep peak cinema? No, of course not. This is just supposed to be fun. And honestly, I have a hard time finding a lot of stuff to complain about. If I'm going to think about who this is for, I think... Kind of like we've been saying, I wanted it to be even sillier than it actually wound up being. Mm-hmm. In particular, the one thing that occurred to me that I wanted there to be a bunch of was the suplexes. And we keep on talking about that, but there was really just the one. And I wanted it to be the people's elbow and people bouncing off of ropes. Give me the whole nine yards. And I think that they left some potential on the table with that being said.
Godzilla has done a dropkick before.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I wanted.
Yes.
So
I agree.
Even with that being said, they did a lot of things well from showing rather than telling. The humans were annoying. They're always annoying, but they got to be there just to give us some stakes of where is humanity in this and who are the good guys, who are the bad guys. They ticked that box without it being excruciatingly annoying like we have seen in some other kaiju films. So, I mean, it's pretty good, even though I said before, like, I probably just watched this on streaming, but honestly, it was a lot of fun, and regardless of whether or not it's Night with the Boys or you got a kid, it can appeal to a lot of audiences. Having said all that, the seismic toss was absolutely my favorite part of the entire film.
Yeah.
And yeah, my criticism of it is just that I want it to be even more ridiculous than it actually was.
Yeah.
So having said all of that, well, actually, I've got a soft spot for like vaporwave music, and that kept on showing up, even though it wasn't consistently. Like, we get either the vaporwave aesthetic or we pivot to like rock classics.
Right.
That was a little confusing, but hey, you give me a nod to something I like, I'll give you a few extra points. And having said all that, I'll give you 4 out of 5 people eating trees.
Nice.
That tree was weird.
That was like, really.
Yeah, I knew he was gonna. I knew that guy was gonna die.
Yeah, something was gonna kill him.
And I knew there was something wrong with that tree. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I expected it to be like, this tree is actually what the limb of the big tree snake looking thing.
The
is.
Jump got me though.
But it wasn't. It was just that this tree eats people, I guess.
And that's just it. We need to get this guy off screen.
I guess so. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Ethan. Thank you for coming back, Caleb. If you want to listen to more of our episodes, you can find those on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and Opinionated Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening, and until next time, we're opinionated. Thanks for listening.